Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. And today we are reading from the big book. We're in Bill's story on page 7. We're going to unpack paragraph 2 today that begins with, "It relieved me somewhat," and ends with self-knowledge. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Reggie O, the 12 Traditions, Nicole C, and reading the text today in support is Laura R, Dory P, Brandy M. Elaine B will be greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information, and Robin P will finish out the meeting today with giving you some announcements on the happenings here at A Vision for You. The share ID numbers for these meetings, yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, September 21st, 2020, Monday, 15402, 15,402. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020, 15408, 15,408. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Reggie O to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hey, thank you, Mel. Thank you so much, and everybody. My name is Reggie O, gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area, and here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over compulsive eating, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So grateful to be here and be of service this morning.
Thank you, Reggie O. That's Reggie O from California. I will now ask Nicole C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. I'm Nicole C. I'm a compulsive overeater in California. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Pardon me, I lost my place. Okay. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Nicole C. from California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And I wanted to indicate that this would be the star 1 key function only to utilize for muting, and that if it's not your turn to be speaking, you will all be muted at that time just to protect the recording for its quiet consummation. So, today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, Bill's Story, on page 7. We're going to unpack paragraph 2 today, which begins with, it relieved me somewhat, and ends with self-knowledge. And what I'd like to do is ask Laura R. to read that paragraph and unpack it for us this morning with her experience with the directions, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the fellowship to comment. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. I went to town regularly and even made a little money. Surely this is the answer, self-knowledge. So, boy, I can't help but feel bad for Bill and for all of us before we finally kind of, understand what's going on. But, you know, at this point, Bill only has just learned that that he's been seriously ill bodily and mentally. So he does learn part of the problem in the first step. But what he's missing is that unmanageability, that spiritual malady piece, that we need, you know, some form of power outside of ourselves or within ourselves that isn't coming from us, but is coming from, you know, a God of our own understanding that's going to solve his problem. So it's interesting. I was just reading it right now, is that it relieved me somewhat to learn that an alcoholic's the will is amazingly weakened. And I remember hearing a speaker say that will, there's two wills. It's either my will or it's God's will. So if our will is amazingly weakened, why am I using anything for myself that to try to combat this liquor thing? Okay, I got this. Self-knowledge is going to fix me. I'm going to, you know, the goose is going to hang high. I'm going to get this, you know, we're doing good. Like, poor Bill, he's going to get slammed in a minute. And so are all of us if we don't, you know, we don't grab on to this program. I have no hope apart from higher power, you know, no hope. And I just didn't know that. I didn't even know that my body was sickened, you know, both bodily and mentally. But yeah, that, you know, the second half of the first step is so important, and he won't get that until he meets with Ebby. But it's really that, you know, my life is unmanageable, and all the outside stuff that we see really is what kind of drove me into OA. But that isn't the problem. The bedevilment is the problem. It's the spiritual malady that's within myself that I can't see, that restless, that irritable, that discontent that only steps can heal, you know, that only by going through the process of the steps, by uncovering, discovering, and discarding those things, and by continuing the process, by making amends and asking God to remove things and changing me, you know, I need to be completely reorganized, and that doesn't come from me alone, and it comes from my higher power. So what comes to mind is that, you know, Bill at this point is abstinent, and we have to put down our foods 100%. And I think that's what's so hard in this program, is that I have to decide with help of other people what I really need to put down. And that's what took me so long in this program to get abstinent or to get healthy, is that I didn't want to put down those foods and behaviors and those items, you know, those ingredients. So once we do finally get honest with ourselves and put those down, we can grab onto this program and just go through it and God willing, get recovered. So I'm grateful to be on this meeting with all of you, and with that I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. Appreciate you getting us started this morning. I'm going to open the lines now for additional comments on that paragraph. Reminder that we are in Bill's story, page 7, paragraph 2. We're unpacking that single paragraph today, and Laura just commented on it. Although we do certainly respect and enjoy your experience, strength, and hope, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a time to share their experience, strength, and hope as well. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, why don't you consider tomorrow being your first day to share once again, and we'll look forward to hearing from you with that. In the meantime, if you give me your name, the first initial of your last name, and your state so folks can find you on the membership list, I'll take a list of you.
Carol, California.
I hear somebody. I hear somebody.
New Jersey.
New Jersey, and I hear a couple of people from California. I think I heard Roz, and then somebody
and
before
Nicole
Roz.
C. Uh-huh. Nicole C.
Gotcha. In New Jersey, it was Carol S.
Okay, fantastic. I got you as the first position here, so you're in luck.
Thank you.
And
Donna
Michelle F.
I hear somebody, Evan, somebody from where?
California.
I heard somebody from Colorado.
Donna B.
Michelle F.
Like Frank or S like Sam?
F is in Foxtrot.
Gotcha. Okay. And in the state, do you mind? Maybe she'll tell us later. Okay. This is what I have for this go around. Carol S, Roz G, Nicole C, Evan U, Donna B, and Michelle F. Good morning, Carol. Your turn.
Good morning. This is Carol, compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I love this paragraph. Surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. Wow. Well, self-knowledge is definitely not the answer for me, because if it were the answer, all the diets that I've tried since I was probably 5 years old would have worked, because I certainly had the knowledge of how they worked and what I was supposed to do, and or how many calories I was supposed to eat or how much I was supposed to exercise. I had a lot of self-knowledge. But none of it worked. And none of it worked because I didn't have a higher power in my life. And I didn't realize that I was powerless over food. I was always told I just wasn't applying myself well. I just wasn't trying hard enough. Just don't have second portions. Just push yourself away from the table. Just eat slower. Put your fork down. All those things were, I was told, to give me self-will over food, but I don't have any self-will over food. I am powerless over food. I did have self-will in other areas of my life, or so I thought, but certainly not in relationships with people, because I didn't have a program of recovery, and I needed to learn how to speak with people. I needed to learn how to address my character defects, because until I came into program, I didn't have any. Everybody else was wrong, and I was always right. They just wouldn't follow what I wanted them to do, and if they only listened to me, their life would be wonderful. So, yes, self-knowledge is not my answer. My answer is in my prayer and meditation, in doing my step work, in having a sponsor, in turning to my higher power and not making my sponsor my higher power, but making my sponsor the conduit to my higher power. It was a long time coming. I didn't just wake up one day in OA and say, okay, I have a higher power today. No, I had to really work at it. I had to really open myself up to new suggestions and to new learnings. And I'm a very rigid person. What a surprise, right? Really black and white like nobody else is. So it was difficult for me. I didn't have a higher power or a God in my life growing up. I knew God existed, but I didn't think God had time for me. So I had to control myself. I had to take care of myself. But none of that worked. And the only place I learned that that didn't work, and the reason it didn't work, is in these rooms, is from Overeaters Anonymous. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for every aspect of this program. But particularly, I absolutely adore the Vision for You studies and studying the big book paragraph by paragraph. So thank you for letting me share. I'm very grateful to be here. Pass.
Thank you, Carol. That's from New Jersey. Raj G. from California. And then Nicole C. from California. Hi, Raj.
Hi, Melanie. It's Raj G. from Palmdale, California, recovered compulsive overeater. My day of abstinence, my newly recovered day of abstinence, is July the 10th of 2019. Yes. So I'm outside. There may be a little traffic, but that's about it. I just want to, you know, I'd like to also comment about self-knowledge. I have all kinds of college degrees. I made it all the way up to doctor. And I know in this program we don't like to, you know, we're kind of anonymous, but I think this paragraph lends itself to talking a little bit about, you know, knowledge. And I have that, and I've been a health teacher for many years, and part of my curriculum is nutrition. But when it comes to compulsive overeating, and when I put it, what goes in my mouth, I'm clueless. And what I mean by that is saying out of humility is that there's a strange mental blank spot. As Harlan says, I have a built-in forgetter. And it's something that I learned from the doctor's opinion, you know, that and the how it works or whatever, not how it works, but more about alcoholism. You know, there's all kinds of states of minds that happen to me before I consider putting something in my mouth, no matter how much I've studied it, no matter how much I've talked about it or taught it and attempted to do it. Because just like the other callers have said, I've tried all the diets in the book, and it doesn't matter what I know. So what do I have to do every day? And this is like most every day. Some days I'm not perfect at this, but every day I have to write down my food. Like I put it in a Google Doc. That's how I, you know, write down my food. But I have to write breakfast, lunch, dinner, how many ounces, how many cups. And then I need to write down what my actions are going to be for the day, spiritually speaking, just like what the big book tells me to do, step by step. Because there's some strange mental blank spot. There's a peculiar mental twist when it comes to food. And I sometimes don't remember, many times don't remember how many ounces I need to put in my feet and, you know, how I need to weigh. And it's been over a year that I've been looking at the same amount. But you know what? That's a humility for me. I was at the birthday party and in the hallways of the hotel, and this person was like, I don't want to weigh my food. That's obsession. That's obsession. And I said, no, that's humility.
Time.
Okay. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Nicole C., you're next from California. Quick star one, Nicole C., please.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can now. Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is Nicole C. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in Morgan Hill, California. And this paragraph just gives me a nice slap across the face, which I love. It is so scary, but so funny. It's surely was the answer self-knowledge. No. No, no, and no. I have had so much self-knowledge about food for so long, and it doesn't do anything for me in those strange mental blank spots. If I could just say, oh, well, just don't add that. You know that that triggers you. If that were sufficient, I would not be on the phone with you in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This is my home group because we're focused on the literature, and the literature is what has been giving me relief. And I don't have to tell myself all day, every day, no, 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 don't do that. You know, you can't have that. I don't have to live in that mental anguish and have self-knowledge on repeat all day, every day, which is crazy-making. I can be in a position of neutrality. I can realize that that's not my food, but I don't have to think about that. I don't have to think about what I know and what I don't know, because what I know has gotten me here. What I know is how to chew instead of feel. What I know is how to put something in my mouth instead of to say something that I need to say. What I know how to do is when my body says, I'm tired, I'm lonely, I need care, I need rest, the message in my brain is, eat something. And I don't have to muster up any self-knowledge. I don't have to say, remember. No. Because I can trust and rely on a power that's greater than me. And this group is definitely more powerful than I am. My very first sponsor told me, Nicole, the only thing that you have to know about God is that you're not it. And I don't have to know what God is, and I don't have to know what God isn't. I just need to later on in the book answer the question, God is either everything or God is nothing. Self-knowledge will end me to 225 pounds, not being able to fit in my wedding dress, and then the moment I can fit in it for the wedding, go on a binge for 2 weeks on the honeymoon and gain it all back. That's what it looks like for me with self-knowledge. So I need something a little bit better. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole C. from California. Evan, you're up next, and then Donna B. will follow you. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Team Tuesday. Is this Tuesday? I think it is. Really happy to be here. I feel like everybody's really covering the self-knowledge, you know, and I definitely have that expert syndrome who can't follow any of my own rules or dictates. But what stuck out to me, I guess I just want to say one other thing too. I haven't really been expressing, you know, the gratitude for the changes in my food. You know, as I'm coming through the fourth step, I'm experiencing God more and more every day. And that is so nourishing, you know, that it's bringing food to more and more neutrality. You know, so I just want to say that I really see this working in my life. And the thing that really popped out to me as I was reading it My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4, the goose hung high. First of all, the goose hung high has got to be one of the best phrases in the big book. But that aside, you know, we've been reading through Bill's story, and you know, and he's just started getting to the point where he realizes he can't stop. But what I saw is just that the first 8 pages of that story is really about self-will and right. It's about arrogance, and it's certainly his physical addiction is getting stronger. It's progressing, but there's just this, like, I'm king of the world type of vibe to it. And what stuck out to me was this: my incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. You know, I'm coming off a period of 6 years abstinence where I just stepped off the line and went, okay, I'm not abstinent. It wasn't this huge binge. But what I saw in that was that even though I was eating very well, there was still this desperate desire in me that wasn't just about success in the world. It was about, I have to be thin. I have to get to a perfect body shape. And that still lives inside of me. You know, and it's not talked about in the big book, but it's very much another kind of ambition or self-seeking of that maybe is peculiar to us OAers, but it's like, I have to get to a place of perfect body, a perfect body place where people will admire me. And I just wanted to call that out, you know, because even though I was eating well and understanding myself, and the goose hung high, I thought I had this thing licked. This desperate desire was causing me to try to control and do things with food. And ego slowly took over, even in this realm. So I don't know if I've gone way off topic, but it's just, that's what really came up for me this morning is
time.
I have knowledge. Thank you. I'll wrap up. I have knowledge, self-knowledge, but I definitely don't even have complete self-knowledge. Anyway, thanks for letting me share. Have a great one.
Thank you, Evan Yu from California. Donna B. from Colorado, you're up next, and then Michelle F. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie C. Good morning, everybody. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver, Colorado. And this paragraph reminds me of one of my favorite sentences in the doctor's opinion, where it says, with our ultra-modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. And when I think about synthetic materials, I think about polyester. And when I think about naturally made materials like cotton and cashmere, there's such a sense of, you know, synthetic sounds uncomfortable and just sort of itchy and scratchy and of a lower quality. But when I think about the materials of cotton and cashmere, there's a sense of soft and letting go and falling into and comfort. And I love to talk about the difference between those materials with my sponsees when they first come into the program. So my own knowledge, the knowledge that I make up in my head, even if I'm reading from reputable books or meeting with reputable doctors, it's no matter what I hear or read, it's still filtered through my past experience. And it becomes synthetic because it's mixed with old stuff. It isn't pure. But when I surrender and let go and go to the place of the comfort and the quality of cashmere, I have that vision of me being quiet, sitting, listening, asking my higher power to free me of all of the synthetic stuff that I mix in, and to be able to hear with an open heart and an open mind. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna. B from Colorado. Next up will be Michelle F. And I wanted to let folks know, since we're going to open up to additional comments on the paragraph where we are before we get that started. And we are on page 7 in Bill's story, paragraph 2. We're going to comment on just that paragraph today. And so get ready. Within 3 minutes or so, we'll open up lines again. Michelle F., it's your turn now. And do you want to give your city? That would be helpful. If not, that's okay.
Worcester, Massachusetts. That's smack dab in the middle of Massachusetts. And thank you for your service, Melanie. Hi, everybody. I'm Michelle F., a compulsive overeater and food addict. What came to mind when I was reading this paragraph with everyone is this is how I feel in the beginning of my abstinence, in the beginning of my program, when the diet still works, and I'm on that pink cloud, and I think, yep, I got this. And all I have to know is that I don't know anything, you know? And self-will, if it would have worked, I could have stopped at step 4. You know, if self-will and self-knowledge would have worked, I could have known all my defects of character and just agreed to stop practicing them. And I've found from bitter experience, I can't do that. I put down alcohol recently. I know that everybody says it's a glass full of sugar. It doesn't mean I don't want it. And, you know, knowing that I can't have it, that's not enough. Praying to my higher power relieves the the craving, relieves the compulsion. Praying helps me get right-sized and make amends when I act out my character defects. Excuse me. And, you know, I knew I needed a higher power. I knew that what was missing, no one had to tell me. You know, I envied people who had religion and God because they seemed happier. But I was determined to just do it all by myself because I didn't trust anybody or anything. And what I have to do is what I don't want to do. Admit that I can't do it and ask for help, which I hate doing, and turn things over to my higher power. And I definitely need to have it, the higher power, be divine and not human. And, that's all that really stood out for me today. So thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle F. from Massachusetts. I'll take a lineup again for additional comments. And just so you know, we are really interested in hearing everyone's experience here, but in order to be able to give everyone a chance, we ask that you share every third day. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, let's consider Wednesday being your first day back to being able to share again, please. And with that being said, I'd like to take another lineup of a few people.
Larry G.
My name is Leslie. Robin G.
Hi, Leslie. Hi, Robin. I got you, Larry, too.
Jenny S.
Sherry KB.
Jenny S. and Sherry KB. Let's go with that and see what happens in the end. We might have room for a couple more, but let's go with this. So what I picked up was Larry G., Leslie M., Robin P., Jenny S., and Sherry KB. Hi, Larry. Larry, it's your 3. Start now.
Good morning, Larry G. from Northern California. Thank you, Melanie. I think we should all be grateful for self-knowledge. If there was a 12 prerequisites to finally hitting bottom in starting step 1, self-knowledge would be one of them. Early on in my AA recovery, my sponsor came over to my house. This is like my first couple of years, and he brought this tissue, this Scotty tissue size box, and I was wondering why he brought it. And when he did, he cleared my office out of all the self-help books. And today I know that you can take the help out of self-help books. And I never see, I've seen these discounted book bins in these bookstores. I've never seen the big book on a discounted book bin. And so self-knowledge, Bill is introducing us to this concept, and later on we're going to learn in step 11 that all my answers lie through prayer and meditation, through the sixth sense, talking to God. I've never been able to manufacture anything, and I have tried my best, like most people on this call today, to figure things out, to try to figure this addiction out, this horrible, evil, dark addiction. And I was even trying to figure out Sunday the 17th before I picked the phone up and called this woman who's now my sponsor and led me to visions. I was on, believe it or not, I just remember this. I was on a food app one more time, analyzing the grams, analyzing protein, analyzing sugars, analyzing what went wrong. Frosty emotional peel Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and then found myself standing in line at a fast food place, ordering three dinners. That's self-knowledge. That's the sickness of self-knowledge, availing me nothing. And so I've never been able to manufacture surrender. I don't think there's a course out there. If there is, I don't know if there's a course. I don't think I can go to like a four-day intensive and learn about surrender. Surrender came at a price. One of the prices was the warping of my mind, which I did not want to admit, that, and also the maiming of my left knee, which is preventing me from doing the thing I love most, which is backpacking. I didn't want to admit that either. And since I've been on this call, working with a vision sponsor, going to the big book, I see how wrong I've been and how terribly wrong I've been. And I'm so grateful to be on this call. Thank you for letting me share.
Hey, Larry, where are you from? Do you want to share?
Northern California, Sacramento, California.
Perfect, thanks. That's Larry G. from California, y'all. Leslie, did I say Leslie M.? Is that what I said? Is that next? And then Robin P. will follow. A quick star one, Leslie.
Hi. Hi, this is Leslie. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Loud and clear now.
Okay. It's a little confusing because apparently there's two Leslie M's.
There are. You're right. I had to question myself because I knew I didn't recognize the voice.
Yes. Well, I'm from Southern California.
Excellent. Your 3 minutes starts now, madam.
Okay. Well, this paragraph, I'm pretty new, but this paragraph reminded me of a hospital program that I was involved in the 70s, mind you, of Dr. Rader's Hospital in Torrance, California. And I just remember the death of my
going to wait for just a second and see if Leslie comes back.
Hello?
There you go. Hi.
Yeah, my phone was doing something weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it has taken me another 4 years to get to this point of step one. I think I'm even before step one at this point, but it just goes to show the persistence of the illusion that I can somehow control this. My latest thing was the keto diet and Weight Watchers, and both failed miserably. I lost weight, but of course I gained it all right back. And I was eating so compulsively and no control at all, or no surrender, definitely, no surrender. And that's really all I wanted to say this morning was about that hospital program I was in and how I realize now that it was all, my participation was all based on self-knowledge. And obviously it didn't work. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. from Southern California. Robin P., temporarily in Florida, and then Jenny S. will follow you. Hi, Robin.
Thanks. I thank so much for your service, Mel. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, about to be in Tulum, Mexico. You know that self-knowledge avails us nothing, because this is not the last paragraph in this chapter. And you can just see something is about to happen that's going to blow this one off and just go, oh, that didn't work. And how many times in my own life did I know that I got it this time? I know, okay, this is it. And then just the Russian roulette would happen again, and I would just be stunned and in amazement. How did this happen again? You know, and because it's a spiritual surrender for me, and the, you know, I think it is important to have some mental knowledge in combination, but it's not going to work if I'm still running the show and I'm powerful over food and my life is completely manageable because I'm powerful over food. You know, but I also do believe that the self-knowledge in combination with that is helpful. You know, I do my best. I don't eat poison today. I don't eat GMOs. I don't eat gluten. And I'm a vegan, and I, you know, there are things that I know that feed my body healthily and that feel really like fuel for me. At the same time, I really get to live in the steps and in this program and surrender to my higher power in constant contact. You know, I'm letting go of so much in my life right now. Like, all of our furniture is gone, and, you know, we're moving out of the country and saying goodbye to family for now. And I've become really close with my mother as a result of really this program and saying goodbye to her and just all of these parts. And the only thing that works for me is complete surrender and living in these steps and staying close to my higher power. God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. from Florida. Jenny S., you're up next, and then Sherry KB will follow. And then there might be time. I will see if there might be time for one more to share after Sherry KB. Hey, Jenny.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenny from Middlesbrough in the UK, compulsive overeater, sugar, flour, and fat addict. Self-knowledge. I thought I knew myself pretty well after a lot of years of being manipulated by others. And then God kind of gave me the message that self-knowledge isn't everything by himself, really, well before I came to OA, because I discovered that there is a major, major possibility that I am on the autistic spectrum, which kind of threw me for a loop, because it kind of meant I had to relearn myself. So if I don't know enough about myself as it is now with the autism, how on earth am I going to know myself well enough for this, to do this on my own? The answer is I'm not. So I'm slowly learning to put my trust back into God, because although I've always believed, I had somewhat lost my trust in him. So that trust is slowly coming back. And I just wanted to sort of share that realization that I came to whilst listening to the paragraph there. So there you go. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jenny S. from UK. Sherry KB, your 3 minutes.
Good morning there, Melanie C. This is Sherry Gaby in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie, as always, and Team Tuesday, and welcome newcomers and everyone on the line. So I'm just going to jump right in here. This paragraph is fantastic to me because it's talking about how, you know, that it's explaining to me what my disease is about. I've been told what my disease is about here, and now it's explaining to me some things of why I couldn't stop. So how now I have all this great knowledge, so don't you think I could just go out and figure this all out? I've got this thing? No, that's part of my disease. My disease wants me to think that I know everything and that if I just get the information, that sure is going to be okay. And, you know, it talks about how the goose hung high for a while, for 3 or 4 months, because I was floating on my pink cloud of knowledge. And, you know, but it always ended up the same way. And throughout this book, it always talks about how self-knowledge avails me nothing. I stood at the turning point. I asked his protection and care with complete abandon, meaning I have to abandon myself, my self-will, my knowledge, all of that. If I don't, I'm in trouble. I'll just go back face down the food. It might be a while, but, you know, I end up face down in those emotions, and then next thing I know, I'm face down in the food. And I just can't do it anymore. I just, you know, I'm here to tell you I did decades worth of this. And it's just, it's really dawning on me so much how my self-knowledge is, my self-will is the voice of my disease. So every day for quite a while now, I have been asking God to please take my self-will back. Because my self-will thinks I know everything. And it talks throughout this book that we have to have a psychic change. You know, we only have to change one thing. What's that, Sherry? Everything. That's what I have to change. I have to change all my beliefs, all the stuff that I thought I knew for sure. I have to throw it out the window. Because if I don't, my disease is always going to win. And my disease is in that voice of self-knowledge that gets me so much in trouble. And without these steps and without my higher power, I can't do this. I can't do it. And for me, I read this over and over and over again, and that's exactly what it's telling me. You know, Sherry, your self-will is the voice of your disease, your knowledge, your information. Okay, great, you're smart, but that smart has nothing to do with it. It's really a spiritual malady. You know, you've got to rely on your higher power. If you don't, you're in trouble. You know, if you think you've got this thing, that's not a good thing because I never have this thing. I will never have this thing. I know that for me, my self-knowledge gets me into trouble so much in so many even other areas of my life. And I just know that I need to turn to God in all things, turn to the Father of Light for me. And I'm just so grateful to finally get this, and I pass. Thanks.
Excellent. Thanks, Sherry KB. Yeah, it looks like there's time for one more person to share for 2 minutes. Or a little bit less. If you're interested in sharing on paragraph 2, page 7, we'd love to hear how you apply the directions in that to your life.
Chrissy L.
Hey, Chrissy L. Thanks so much. And I forgot to get Sherry KB's state. I know it. But Chrissy, you go now, and we'll figure that out later.
California.
Oh, I knew that. it just wouldn't pop up. Thanks so much. Thanks. Oh, great. Okay, Chrissy, we stepped on your toes a bit there, but you jump in real quick. Where are you from?
I'm from Southern California, San Diego area. I just wanted to claim my seat into I'm a newcomer. I'm on my day 3 of eating clean and being abstinent, and it's so hard. And self-knowledge is something that sucks. And I know that it's a process, and I know that it's part of the process. But it still is not fun. And I'm really trying. This time is different. I'm doing this for myself, and I'm also doing the pre-op for the weight loss surgery because I'm so big. So I'm a little scared, and I've heard the war stories of some of them that have had this surgery. And this self-knowledge is just out of control of knowing exactly what your alcoholic foods are and trying to figure it out is such the process. And I'm reporting my food. This is my second day reporting my food, and it's a little difficult. It's out of my norm. It's out of my comfort zone, and I'm trying really hard. But being a newcomer, I'm just going to have to reach out a little bit more and maybe see after the meeting and see about talking to some more newcomers and maybe even supporting each other. I just wanted to say thank you for you guys' service. If it wasn't for you guys, I don't know what I'd do. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Chrissy L. from Southern California. A nice way to end the meeting today. And thank you, everyone, that was involved in making this meeting possible today and all the shares that came through on the directions for recovery, a very strong dynamite approach to these directions. So it's going to be very, very helpful. Thanks to Team Tuesday. Appreciate you very much. Solid group here. So with all that in mind, what I'd like to do is now start the process of transitioning to the last 10 minutes of our meeting by asking Dori P. to please read page 164 in our big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We'll follow that with a serenity prayer, and then we'll move into the last 10 minutes unrecorded. Good morning, Dori. Thanks so much.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Dori P., recovered in Atlanta, Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.